Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God may the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Let's pray tonight. Father, this has been kind of an ongoing thing in my life, and you know that. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me be able to show my heart a little bit and tonight, and just, Lord, just a truth, Lord, that you've kind of maybe taught me in the last few months. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, Lord, that we would just be tender and receptive. And Lord, tonight our flesh doesn't want what's going to be said tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me to be a vessel that can be used by you. Help me to be out of the way. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd have free reign in our hearts. And just pray that you'd be honored tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach about this tonight. Dead, yet living. Dead, yet living. Otherwise known as crawl in your casket. Crawl in your casket. Okay, that's my personal title that I like better. Honestly, tonight what I'm going to talk about is something that I guess I've been kind of fighting with for the past few months. Maybe the Lord's just kind of really laid it on my heart, and I don't know if I can even properly convey what God's been doing in my heart to everybody here, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try. And like I said, I don't know if I can do it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. You know, I find sometimes in my life that it's just, I get frustrated with, I don't know, maybe circumstances of life and just things doesn't seem like they're going the way they ought to go. And then there's the whole people element that, you know, people just, I don't know, they irritate me sometimes. And I irritate myself sometimes, and I irritate my wife sometimes, and I know I irritate other people, but sometimes it's just, I got this whole thing that's going on, it's like, man, it's just so discouraging. And I don't know if you've ever been there, or maybe you're there now, and, you know, it seems like, you know, you want to do what's right for God, but everything, the circumstances of life, you know, Paul says, and we're going to get there, Paul says, "The things that I would, I do not, and the things that I would not, that I do. The things that I hate, those are the things that I do." You know, the time that I want to give to God, for some reason the devil always has a way to, you know, my Saturdays. My Saturdays are the most hectic day of the week. And you know, what do I do on Saturday? That's the time that I have set aside to go do bus visiting. And I can have 5 hours set aside for it. And it's not bad stuff. It's not bad stuff that comes up. It's legitimate, you know, a toilet busted in the bathroom or something. And, well, that's got to be fixed by Sunday. And there's just things like that that, you know, the everyday things of life. And I think everybody kind of goes through that. It's not, you know, we've got good people here. You wouldn't be here tonight with Pastor gone if you're not good people. Okay, trust me. I know human nature well enough. We've got good people here, but so many times we have this battle And there's the things that we want to do for God. But then there's all the cares and the concerns of life that just seem like they overwhelm us. And I guess that's maybe kind of what I've been kind of struggling with is, you know, having that proper balance, having that proper, and not getting upset, you know, because it's easy for me to just, you know, go to your quiet place, you know, and be upset at everybody, all right? And I want to help you tonight, and this has helped me, and like I said, it's not something I've by no means figured out. I think the truth is there. It's the application of the truth that we sometimes struggle with. And like I said, most of you are going to leave tonight mad. Not that that's comforting, but you know why, and I'll tell you why, is because your flesh doesn't want what I'm going to say tonight. Now, if you listen to the Holy Spirit will convict you, as it has done. I'm not just saying this because it's me saying it. I'm going to read. I've got 9 pages of Bible verses here. Okay, I'm going to illustrate it in my weird way, but this is all Bible truth. Okay, all that we read, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Is all basically a battle between the flesh and the spirit. What you can go back to the beginning of time. Abraham, and when Abraham married Hagar, that, you know what that was, or had a child by Hagar? That was a battle between the spirit, which was a child of promise, Isaac, and Ishmael, which was a child of the flesh. You know what that was? Literally, you go to Galatians chapter number 4. That was an allegory of the battle that we all fight. You know the little pictures, you have the little devil on one side on your shoulder and the little angel on the other. In a sad way, that's what we fight every day of our lives. At least I do. If you yield completely to one, I guarantee it's not the angel, and if it's not the angel, you should go get that checked. Okay? But we fight that. There's that constant battle. Galatians chapter number 2. Verse number 20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Go to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse number 24 tonight, if you would. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny who? Himself. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And here's the whole thought that I want to give you tonight. Is basically just die to yourself. Is dying to self. You know, I really just got thinking about this, I'm going to illustrate this somewhat tonight. But, you know, it's just, you know, why don't you have your own funeral? And I thought about, you know, honestly, I thought about writing my own epitaph tonight. But I don't really know what I'd say about myself, so I didn't decide not to do that. Or a nice poem about myself and reading it, but I really couldn't think of anything nice to say, so I didn't write anything. But why don't you just die to self? And automatically, your first thought is, well, I don't want that. I don't want that. You know, nobody likes denying your flesh anything. If I want a Mountain Dew, by golly, I just want to go down to the gas station and get myself a Mountain Dew. Nobody wants to, no, you can't have that. Well, I got the money. I can go get it. No, you don't need that. Why? Well, I just want it. And so what do? I get in my truck and go down to the gas station. We don't deny ourselves anything. We don't ever tell our flesh no. And I want to show you some principles about that tonight. Guys, why don't you go ahead and go get that stuff for me? I want you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. They're helping me. This is kind of a funny story I'm going to tell about this here in a second. Yeah, just sit him. Yeah, sit right there. And sit your other one, facing it like over there somewhere. These are my pallbearers. Yeah, there you go. Amen. I've always wanted to do this, and so I just did it the other day. I always wanted to build my own casket, okay? So I did. I built my own casket, all right? Now, don't get me wrong. There you go. Thanks, guys. You say, Bert Chad, are you nuts? Yeah, pretty much, okay? But you know how much money I saved right there? A lot of money. Okay, I just saved, and if I'm gonna start, I think I'm gonna start a business, you know, casket making, because I could make everybody in here. You know, if you're content with being simple and having the simple things of life, you know, I could make you something for $100. Okay, you know, color of your choice. You know, 2 or 3 coats of enamel. I mean, and you would die first class. Tell you what. I didn't have time. This is kind of one of those last minute. It opens up. I mean it's functional. All right. I fit inside of it. Don't ask me how I know, but I do fit. All right. I even build it with room for expansion. All right. I don't know when I'm gonna die. I mean I may die tonight, and it's, you know, I can fit 3 of me in there right now, but I may die in 40 years and you can shove me in there if I fit. All right. But I always wanted to do that. I thought, man, that would be great to build my own casket, okay? Because seriously, some of you are like, Brother Chad, you're weird. Yeah. Well, okay, you get buried in a $2,000 box? Right. Really? I would make it nice. I mean, I didn't have time. I've got these gas struts like you have for doors and windows that open. I was going to put gas struts on it. So, you know, when you open it up, it stays open. It's not falling down all the time and smashing people's fingers and stuff. But I was going to make, seriously, and I told my wife this, and I am dead serious. You think I'm crazy. I want to be buried in a box like that. I do. Why should she spend $3,000 to bury me?
Right.
If I could dig my own grave, I would dig it. But that kind of goes against... I don't think you can do that. that's jumping to conclusions a little much, all right? It's kind of one of the things, if you knew what day he's going to die, you would avoid it. Or, you know, the place that he's going to die, you'd avoid it type of thing. But I do. I'd always wanted to build my own casket. So I thought, well, for this sermon, and I hadn't actually, there's an alternative. I've got another motive. I didn't just build this for this. I'm going to put the Christmas tree that we can't keep in a box in there or upstairs. So you guys can always think about the Christmas tree and this message when you get the Christmas tree out for every year. But say, Brother Chad, why did you do that? Okay, why in the world? I'm going to show you tonight. And I want this thought to be with you, because this is a thought that God gave me when I was really thinking about this. You know, because like I said, everything there for a while, it was like everything was irritating me. You know, and it was just like, well, why? This is pointless. Why am I living life? Why can't I go? Why don't I just go out and make money? I could go out and make a lot of money. I could. And many of the men in here have the skill set. You could go out and make a lot of money. Why do I spend hours, you know, visiting people on Saturday that don't even want to come to church? Why do I do that? What's the purpose? What good does it benefit me? That's a waste of time. I got 3 weeks of work I'm backed up on. I didn't even got my firewood all cut for this year. Well, some of it. That doesn't benefit me to help other people. And to a point, I was just sick and tired of it. Matthew, are you in Matthew 26? Look at verse number 37. Stick with me, and I'm going to hurry. Like I said, I got a lot of scripture. We have here a story, Matthew chapter 26, verse number 37. Here's the first thing I want to say tonight. When the flesh is strong, the spirit is weak. When the flesh is strong, the spirit is weak. And we're talking about dying to yourself, or, you know, you're living, but you're dying. Go crawl in your casket. Crawl in your, you know, tell me that. If I'm ever being selfish, just tell me that, and I'll know exactly what you mean. But Chad, just go crawl in your casket, all right? And I may just go do that, because I've already got it built. Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. The Bible says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Listen to this one request. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, I don't know that he asked very many things in life from his disciples, but these few disciples, he asked them, hey, stay here with me. Would you guys stay here with me and watch with me? All right? And then verse 39 tells when he went to pray. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Listen to this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are you like me that you have trouble praying in the morning? Why do you have trouble praying in the morning? Because your flesh wants to go back to sleep. And many times it seems like in my life, and this is another thing that was frustrating. It's like I'd get up in the morning and I wouldn't get anything out of the Bible. It was like I'd read and it was just like, you know, I get to the end of the chapter and everything I'd read, I have no clue. Or I'd try to pray and I'd be falling asleep. It's like, why am I doing this? I want to have a walk with God. I want to have that relationship with God. But my flesh is fighting me all the time. And this is where Peter's at. Look at verse number 42. And he went again away the second time and prayed, saying, and then verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Jesus went through one of the hardest trials of his life, and nobody was there with him because some men yielded to their flesh. Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to be in Galatians and Romans a lot. Galatians chapter number 5. Verse number 17. The Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now if you would be honest with yourself, this is what your flesh wants to do. This list of things is what society who lives according to the desires of their flesh, this is what they do. Okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know what that is? That's the works of the flesh. Yes, sir. That's the things that, honestly, if we don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you look at the world and you think, why is America in the state that she is? Because there is no spirit there that controls that stuff. That's where I would be right now, folks, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God living within me, is right here. Because those are the works of the flesh. All right, and we're going to talk about this, about crucifying that. Verse 22 and 23 gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When the flesh is strong, the Spirit is weak. My flesh doesn't want to get up in the morning and walk with God. My flesh doesn't want to give my tithe and offering to the church. There's a lot I can do with 10%+ of my money. My flesh doesn't want to do that. My flesh doesn't want to give things to other people. My flesh only wants people to give things to me. My flesh doesn't want to talk to people. My flesh wants to put other people down so that my flesh feels better. That's what our flesh wants to do. My flesh basically wants to look out for numero uno, number one, right here. That's what my flesh wants to do, okay? And honestly, my flesh doesn't care how it affects others. It doesn't care how it affects this beautiful wife I have. It doesn't care. My actions, when I'm living in the flesh, doesn't care. You know, we've never, honestly, I couldn't say we've ever had an argument, honestly. And you know, one of those reasons is because when I get upset about something that's not going my way, did you catch that?
Yeah.
My way. And I really look at it, it's because I'm just being selfish and I want something that fulfills my needs. I don't care how long a day she had or how terrible and devilish the kids were that day. I just want supper. Supper should have been done 30 minutes ago. Why isn't the house clean? You know what that is? It's things that instead of me looking at her needs and understanding that she could have been going through a terrible day and trying to help with the kids and trying... I've done laundry before. It doesn't kill me, okay? I've done the dishes before. I cook quite a bit.
Would you cook, Brother Chad?
Yeah, you don't want to eat it, but it's... I do. Do I want to? No. You know what I want a lot of times? You want my flesh wants? I want to work 16 hours. I want to come home. I want to eat supper. And I'm going to go to bed. That's what my flesh wants to do. I don't want to, you know, I'm just being transparent with you now, okay? I don't want to spend time with my wife. I don't want to spend time with my kids. Brother Chad. That's what my flesh wants. My flesh just wants to spend time on me, spend money on me, spend all this stuff on me. And then I get upset when everything doesn't go my way. Well, no, that's because of me. It's not because of anybody. It's not because of you guys. It's because I'm not where I need to be spiritually. So my flesh is stronger than, and my spirit is weaker. Everybody's heard the story of the missionary and the two dogs, the story he told. You know, he said, which one wins the battle? He said, the one I feed the most. And that's so true. Here's the second thing. The first one said, when the flesh is strong, the spirit is weak. And we see that in the Bible. Second thing says, when the spirit is strong, the flesh is weak. It's a polar opposite. Okay, it's very simple. When your spirit's strong, your flesh is weak. When your flesh is strong, your spirit's weak. Okay? You know what fasting is? Let me just illustrate this in a very practical way. You know what fasting is? Everybody says you need to fast and pray. You know what fasting is? Fasting is simply letting go of something physical in order to obtain something spiritual. Fasting is letting go of something physical in order to obtain something spiritual. I could say it this way. Fasting is weakening your flesh so that your spirit can be stronger. It's interesting. I did this study this afternoon, actually. You know, Moses spent 40 days on the mountain without eating that we have record of. And when he came off the mountain, his face glowed and the children of Israel couldn't even look at it. After that time, when Moses spent that time on the mountain, is when he was able, God allowed him to see the Bible says, his backside. He put him in the cleft of the rock. Wonder if it took 40 days of starving what his flesh wanted in order to be able to obtain that spiritual level. 40 days. Jesus spent 40 days. This is interesting. The whole 40 days thing kind of caught my attention. Or the number 40. We'll look at this. Jesus spent 40 days on the mountain. And the Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Talk about a spiritual high. But the Bible says he did it without food. You know what he was doing? He was making his flesh weak so that he could be spiritually where he needed to be. This is an interesting thing. You know, why did God destroy the earth with the flood? Because of what?
Sin.
Do you know it rained 40 days on the earth? I wonder if it took 40 days to get rid of all that sin. I wonder if in our lives it takes... I don't know. I've never done it. I don't know. I don't honestly, personally know of anybody that has. I know there's guys out there that have said they've done it. Spent 40 days without food and water, or food. I think you have to have water, but without food, nourishment. You know what that is? You're weakening the flesh. 40 days it rained. How many years was Israel in the wilderness to get rid of all the sinful generation? 40 years. Think about that. Do you know how many days Goliath marched in front of the nation of Israel? 40 days. And that giant of sin fell on the 41st day. Think about that. Elijah, it took Elijah 40 days to get to Mount Horeb, and only then was he able to hear the still small voice. 40 days without food and water, or without food. It took him 40 days to get from where he was traveling to Mount Horeb without food. Only then did God say, here's the still small voice. You know, I don't think we're willing to sacrifice. I know I'm not. We'll miss a meal every once in a while. But are you willing to put your carcass in a casket and say, okay, you can't have anything? You know, how much food does a dead person eat? We're gonna illustrate this by dead people a lot tonight. But you know what I need physically to be spiritually strong is nothing. Because when I'm spiritually strong is when I'm physically weak. You know what? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to talk about fasting. Nobody likes to talk about, you know, denying yourself because our flesh wants stuff. Jesus wanted his disciples to pray with him, but what it was that fought them, it was their flesh. They wanted to sleep. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you lost sleep praying for someone? When was the last time you woke up in the middle of the night and you couldn't go back to sleep because you had somebody on your heart praying for them? When was the last time you missed meals because you wanted to see God work in the life of somebody or see God work in your life? I'm talking about a level here that this is second stuff. This is second grade, you know. This is high school grade Christianity. All right? Now some of you don't care, and that's fine. But this is, I guess, the way, like I said, this is why God's been dealing with me in my heart. I don't remember much about Caleb Hall. Maybe a good thing. But you know one thing I remember about Caleb Hall? I am not saying he did it every, but when I was in school, young people listen to this, he was in high school, okay? Now, I know Caleb had issues, just like all of us. He never did right all the time. I've never done right all the time. But you know one thing that I always was impressed with Caleb Hall is for years, well, I don't know for years, I'd say at least a year, probably 2 years, on Wednesday at lunch, he wouldn't eat lunch. And he would go upstairs above the gym and he would get on his knees and he would pray. Why did he do that, Brother Chad? Because of teen soul winning on Wednesday afternoon. And that always stuck in the back of my mind is, man, I don't know what his motive was for it. And everybody that lives in the flesh want to give a fleshly motive for things. Well, he just wanted it so people will watch him. I don't know. Maybe that's why he's a pastor now. And God saw his heart that he did want to impact people. I don't know. But that always impressed me about Brother Caleb. When the spirit is strong, the flesh is weak. You know, physical problems can, physically being, having a physical problem can make you stronger spiritually. Having a physical problem can make you stronger spiritually. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Listen to this. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know what he's saying? When I'm at the when I'm at the end of my rope physically, the doctors can't help me, there's no place else I can turn to, God is the one that can give me the strength to go through this. There's that song, when I come to the end of myself, He was there to give me His help, or something like that. And you know what that is? I think God gives us certain trials in life because He knows that the only way that we can be strong spiritually is if we're wiped out. Have you ever been at the bottom of your barrel? Chad, I ain't got no more strength left. I just want to give up. Who's the only person that you can go to? You can't go to the pastor. He can't help. I'm not saying He doesn't want to. I'm just saying there's nothing He can do to help you. The doctors have said there's no hope. We don't know what's going on. And you're like, all right, I got to go to God. And I think ultimately that's got what God wanted. He wanted us to be strong spiritually. There are some things I need that I know that I need to let myself, that I need to crucify in my life. And I want to go through those things. And this is for me personally. And I want you to think in your life, hey, are there things that I need to crucify so that the Spirit can work through me? First of all, I need to let my dreams die. I need to let my dreams die. I got this. I can open this up here. I got this. I didn't get my gas struts put on yet, so we got a stick here that's going to hold this open. I thought that would be really pretty cool to have a stick, you know. I mean, put the stick in my hand or something. I'll hold it up. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I wanted to do growing up. But at some point, I had to take all those dreams that I had, and I think every young person has them. And you got to take those dreams and you say, I'm going to throw them in here. And I'm going to let those dreams die. And if I let those dreams die, then God can give me, He can give me new dreams. And as a young person, I understand all of you guys, all of you young people are going to go through this. You know, for me, it was farming. I farmed, and I thought I would grow up farming. It's not that I wouldn't come to church. I'd be a faithful church member. But I thought I'd grow up farming. And through a set of circumstances, and I'm not going to go into everything, but God basically crushed those dreams. Took it every bit of it away. He said, no, this is not. And so in a way, it's like, okay, God, well, if I give this to You, I'm going to throw this in here. And I'm going to shut the lid, and I'm going to just go bury it. I'm not going to hang on to it. I'm just going to go get rid of it. I'm going to go bury it. And then, God, you're just going to have to direct my steps from this point on. So, Brother Chad, what's the ultimate plan for God for you in your life? I don't know. But I think that God's will for me today was to be here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I think I know what God's will is for me for the first few days of next week. I don't know the whole plan, guys, ladies. I don't know who you'll marry. I didn't know her. But I have a wonderful wife. God's blessed me. You know, I think sometimes God wants you to give your dreams to Him, and then He'll give you new dreams. And then sometimes along the way, He throws in a few things that you still dreamed about. Said, hey, here, go do this. You know, I still go help farmers. I still get calls all the time from people. Lord allowed me to buy a tractor. I can still run equipment. But you know, it's in a different way. It's a different service. So, young people, I want to encourage you, throw your dreams away. Brother Chad, I just don't want to do that. Well, then the Holy Spirit will never be able to fully control your life until you throw those dreams in there. Let your dreams die. Let God change dreams for you. Here's something, and this is probably where we'll spend most of the rest of the time. I need to let my feelings and my pride die. This is a big one. I need to let my feelings and my pride die. You know why I was upset? Well, I told you why I was upset. Because things were hurting me. Things were hurting my pride. And you know what? I just need to throw that stuff away. Let it die. You know, the Bible says, it's not that Paul the apostle died. He said, my flesh basically died. I crucified that stuff. You ever wonder, I've often wondered this, how in the world could Jesus Christ stand before the Sanhedrin with the ability to call 12 legions of angels like that? How could Jesus Christ stand before a Sanhedrin with that power, that ability, and have somebody hit him in the face while he's blindfolded and say, "Who hit you?" How could he stand there and have somebody pull his beard out of his face? How could he stand there while holding on to a post while they stripped him of all of his clothing and whipped his back until the Bible says he no longer looked like a human being? Because I believe in the garden where Peter was supposed to be praying with him, that Jesus said, "I'm dead already. I'm dead already." I think there's stuff that happened in the garden that we'll only know when once we get to heaven. But you know what? Watch this. If you want to do that at my funeral, feel welcome to. I don't care. Seriously. And I've had a cold this week. That was a nasty one. What would you think if somebody went to a funeral and did that to somebody? Everybody would be like, "Do it at my funeral." It would be the funniest thing ever. Everybody start laughing. If you've been here tonight anyway, you start laughing. Everybody else would be like, I mean, it would be dead quiet. How many's ever been to a funeral and somebody walked up and they started cussing the person out that's laying there? If I'm in my casket, if I'm in this box, come up and smack me in the face. You ever wonder why the Bible said, remember what preacher talked about second mile Christians? You know, he talked about going the second mile with the carrying the things. You know what also the Bible says? If a man take thy cloak, give him thy garment also. If you're my size and you see something that you really want while I'm dead, take it. I don't care. If you want to slap me on the cheek, I'll probably turn the other one. You can hit it too. But you know what? There's a reason I wanted that illustration. I don't give a rip. I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't. Does somebody spitting on me in my casket, does that hurt me? Does that hurt my feelings? No, I'm dead. Does somebody hitting me hurt my feelings? No. You know what our flesh automatically wants to do? If somebody comes up and pops me in the face, it does not want to automatically be like, "Oh, here, do this one too. Break my nose the other way." That's not what our flesh wants, is it? We want to, "Oh, how dare you? What's gotten in your craw? What's going on?" You know what it is? That's what the realization was. It's like, hey, if I was really dead to my flesh, that stuff wouldn't even bother me. If I didn't care about my flesh and if I was living a spirit-filled life, that stuff wouldn't bother me. Brother Young preached the other night about Samuel and Saul. You know, the Bible says, you know, Samuel was all, he was distraught. He's like, "God, they want a king." But, you know, Samuel had a good relationship with God. And what did God tell Samuel? He said, don't worry about it. He's like, "They have not rejected you, they've rejected me." You know what? Sometimes you feel this, you have this sense of rejection. It's like we talked about this morning in the morning service. You have this sense of rejection. It's like, "Oh, man." But you know what? They're not rejecting. If you die to self, it doesn't matter. But so often we want to carry our feelings on our shoulders. We just want to carry that on our, "Well, they're talking about me." Who cares? Who cares? You know, for a while, I'm losing all my hair. You see that? Most of you knew that. I'm losing all my hair. You know, for a while, honestly, it kind of bugged me. You know, I wanted to be like Elisha. You know, I wanted to have like two she-bears that'd be like, you know, they started making fun of me. I just call these she-bears out and they go eat people. But, you know, that's not real spirit-led either. I don't know why he did it. He got away with it, but he did. But, you know, it kind of bugged me. And then it was like, who cares? You know, I'm going to shave it all when I'm 30 anyway, so. Brother Tim's like, yeah. But who cares? What does it matter? If I mess up doing something and I pull a real, you know, not sinning, I'm not talking about that. But you know why a lot of people don't do things, don't try new things? Well, what are they going to think about me? Who cares? My girls are always wanting to see videos of Bible school, vacation Bible school. Daddy, can we watch the video of you with the crazy hair? Crazy wind with her big eye. Crazy hair. You know, I could be really upset that people make fun of me because of the way I dress at Bible school. But you know what? At some point, listen, and this is in all seriousness. You know, some of that, I go out of my comfort zone to do that stuff. That's not necessarily who I am. It's hard to believe. But that's not who I am. So I go out of my comfort zone. But you know why I do that? I have to tell my flesh, don't worry about it. You're doing something that hopefully has a spiritual impact. I'm putting my flesh sick. I'm sticking them in the casket and saying, you just stay there for right now. There's something more important going on. You know, I want to apologize. You know, sometimes I'm just downright selfish. I want to apologize to you guys for that. I shouldn't be that way. I want to apologize to young people. You know, sometimes I'm selfish. Sometimes we take a youth trip or something. And it's like, you probably like, man, Brother Chad's grouchy today. You know, and I was probably just being really selfish, looking out for me. Now, I don't want to live that way. Don't live in your past. Let me just say this: don't live in your past. Don't make other people pay for your past. You know, what's in the past is in the past. And you say, Brother Chad, I had this thing going on and, you know, this bad childhood. Well, put it in the casket and leave it there. Go bury it. Stick your past in the casket. It's dead anyway. Yesterday cannot be relived. So stick it where it belongs. Get over yourself. Go crawl in your casket. Why are you so unhappy? Why are people are unhappy? Unhappy people are selfish people.
That's right.
Unhappy people are selfish people. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody that's depressed that's always spending their life doing other things for other people.
That's right.
Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you in the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you and whatever you do. Put yourself third and spell. You know what that song is teaching us? Stick yourself in the casket. Seriously, I could go, and I'm not kidding. If you feel led to spit on me at my funeral, I don't care. And I'm serious. Why should anybody care? I'm dead. If somebody spits in my face today, I'm not a dead person. And my flesh is still alive and well. I had a young man spit on me when I was doing fifth and sixth grade class. I had a young man spit on me. And I told you this morning about that cold fury that kind of slowly creeps up. That was real close to the surface that day. That doesn't bide well with me. But you know why? Because my pride needed to be crucified. Brother Jeff sent this verse the other day on his daily devotion. I don't even read my Bible anymore. I just flip it open at 9 o'clock and I got my devotion. No, I'm kidding. He sent the verse, the Son of Man came to minister, not to be ministered unto. I may have got that back or worded wrong. But you know what? That's why Jesus came. You know why you have trouble helping people at church? Is because you're wanting somebody to be, why don't you, here's, it's a different mindset. Why don't you come to church looking to be a blessing to somebody instead of always looking for somebody to be a blessing to you? You know what that is? It's sticking yourself in the casket. Saying, I'm just going to die to self today. Self is not important. It's about everybody else. I want to be a blessing when I come to church. If my feelings are hurt, that's fine. I'm just a dead man. Are you upset when we do things as a church for people? Well, I don't know if we should have done that, given them that money. You know what that is? That's your flesh talking. Stick them in the casket. I can build you. These are cheap. I'll build you one. If you will put others first, you will live a joyous life. You know, Jesus on the cross. Jesus was on the cross. I appreciate that song Miss Tonya sang this morning. But of all the people who had a right to think of unfairness, this isn't fair. I lived a perfect life here, and I got to die for all these scoundrels. It was Jesus. Take your songbooks real quick. I'm not leading a song. I just want you to look at the words here. And we'll be done. I promise. Page 293. I'm just going to read the words, but I want you to follow along with me. Are you unhappy? Are you miserable? It's because your flesh is doing that. On the other hand, we didn't read all this, but go back to Galatians chapter number 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, look at that list. That's where I want to live. But that's with that guy in the casket. That's with this guy in the casket is the fruit of the Spirit. Page 293. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly and fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment alway? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill on the altar. Your all you must lay. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. You know what we could say there? Is your all in the casket? It's the same thing. It's a dying process. Brother Chad, have you got there? No. My flesh still fights me every day. But in the back of my mind, I always have this casket sitting there. And when something offends me, you know, Psalmist said, great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. When something offends me and something just gets under my skin, I know it's time that I haven't been sticking this guy in that casket very often. When was the last time you did something for, you know, hey, you know what December is? And most of you probably lost your calendars for the year, for the church. But you know what December is making a difference in secret. Think about that. Ultimately, you know why most people give a gift? Because we're really selfish people and we want somebody to really like us, so we give them a gift. You know what giving a gift in secret is? Saying, nobody knows that I did this. I don't care if anybody knows that that dead guy gave this money, but somebody got a blessing today. It doesn't matter who it was. You know what that is? That's putting that guy in the casket. I just want to challenge you tonight. It's a thought. It's not even this. Like I said, this has taken me months, and I'm not even well organized with it. But it's that constant thought, Brother Chad. It's that thought when something happens that somebody comes up to me and it's like, wait, Chad, cool off. Just die. Go crawl in your casket for a while and let the Spirit control you for a little bit. How about those bus kids? Let your Spirit control you for a while. You know, it's easy to get upset with them. You know, these young people, adults, you know why you get upset with them? Because they're not doing what you want them to do. Now, sometimes you ought to be doing what they want you to do, but, you know, it's funny, you go out in public, But listen, just die to self. This goes hand in hand with that message preacher preached last Sunday he was here, I think, on Sunday morning. It's a second mile Christianity. Some of you will never attain to that. And I'm not bashing you. Seriously, I'm not. I haven't. But I want to strive to keep this in there. Shut the door and lock it up so that the Spirit can work through me and the fruits of the Spirit can work through me. And once again, I'm sorry for those that I may have been jerks to. I don't know. It was because I haven't crucified my flesh the way I should have. So, just a thought, a concept, maybe you can take with you. Maybe remember, if nothing else, this. Okay, let's pray. Father, we went just a little bit longer than I intended to tonight. But Lord, this has been on my heart. And Lord, I just want to be able to convey something that you've kind of pressed upon my heart to these folks, Lord. And Lord, I want to live in the Spirit. I want the actions of my life to be governed not on my selfish desires and not what I want, but on what you would have for me. And Lord, then and only then I think that I can minister effectively to your people and just be a help to our pastor and to minister to pastor. Lord, help me to put my desires and my dreams, my feelings and my pride, just help me to put them in the casket and just help me to get rid of them. Help me to bury them. Lord, help us as we take this thought this week. I know it's just kind of a lingering thought. Help us to mull it over and just to think about it. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these people. Thank you for our young people and just the blessing that they are to me personally. Pray that you just help us and guide us in Jesus' name.